Welcome to Modcast, a Civilization podcast focused on game modding. Rob, R8XFT.
Steve Angolan.
Jan Boruta.
Alpha Shard.
Welcome to Modcast 66, with me, Rob, R8XFT. Joining me today are...
Jan Boruta.
Narai the Forgiven.
Scott Dirk.
And Marble here. Are we going to execute Order 66?
Oh no. We need to do that.
My biggest red flag when it comes to the idea of official supported multiplayer, which I think is the greatest thing I've ever heard. What do they mean by multiplayer? Do they mean that they're going to have officially supported hot seat? Because that is technically multiplayer. Or do they mean over the internet?
No, I'm pretty sure it meant like over the internet, not hot seat.
Well, anything to stop getting oosting during multiplayer sessions, I think, would be a very ideal outcome for this.
Because, I mean, right now you can use mods in multiplayer. It just requires whole setup.
And nothing that uses Lua or anything.
Yeah.
You can actually do Lua. There's a way to do it. It's extremely hacky, though. But it is a lot of work, and then you have to make sure there are certain commands you don't call.
Yeah.
Because anything that involves a change on the local machine and not on any other machine will, of course, immediately cause a desync.
I did technically play with a mod when I played a co-op with Quill. That was a DLL mod that makes AI active in diplomacy, the multiplayer. And it mostly worked fine. We only had one or two desyncs.
Yeah, but DLL mods can be installed like a DLC, so the game loads it without anything. So
yep.
And operates on a very basic level of the engine, so this is pretty safe, I would say.
Yeah.
First of all, especially as we've got the wonderful Marbazir here today with us, we're going to start discussing Let's Play mods and YouTube coverage of mods in general. So, Marbazir, what do you look for when you're about to do a Let's Play? What sort of things do you look for in mods to present on YouTube in your Let's Play videos?
I try to look for things that will be interesting for the viewer, which is why I've done stuff like White Walkers.
Huh?
But it can be a little bit hard to judge because I don't always have the time to do a good long test run before starting something. So some of the mods that I've done were a bit of a shot in the dark. Some of them worked out, others not so much. And stability can be sometimes a problem, especially when I'm mixing a lot of mods together. But in general, you know, when you play Civ as much as I do, then you need some variety, right? I'm actually kind of interested in how much more attention certain mods get when YouTubers like me or Queen18 or anyone else actually cover them or use them on YouTube.
That would be hard to measure, because right now you're doing the Blackfoot, which is Clonus Legacies, and I haven't looked to see what the downloads graph looks like. I should actually pull it up while we're sitting here.
Had you ever thought of doing Anno Domini as a Let's Play at all?
Well, I have a very long list of things I would like to do. Probably won't be able to do them all, especially with Civ 6 coming in 2 months. But yeah, I have a very long list of things that would maybe be interesting to do. And like I said, when you don't Civ 5 as much as I do, you need some kind of variety. Otherwise, it will just get boring.
Take that as a polite no, then, for Anno Domini.
Ouch.
No promises.
There was somebody that did do an Anno Domini Let's Play a couple of years ago on YouTube, so it was interesting to see somebody else's perspective, and they did play it much better than I did.
For me, watching Let's Plays of my own mods has been really enlightening to figure out what is good, what is not. I watched Ursinus's playthrough of the Anishinaabe recently, and I've always hated that mod.
Mm-hmm.
Felt that it was really badly balanced because I felt like it had a ridiculous level of aggression where you can just kind of take off and remove defenses from cities and then you just kind of walk in there and make it your own city. And watching Ursinus play it at a higher level than I can personally play it, I found out it was actually quite balanced and I was able to make peace with it.
I do sometimes run into pretty funny balance issues. Like the most hilarious one I ever had was with the Champa. From what I remember, that was a Civ that steals gold from other Civs you're at war with or something like that. And let's just say it wasn't too balanced for deity, where AI has thousands or tens of thousands of gold. So I ended up with so much gold that I didn't know what the heck to do with it.
I mean, it's a good point that Narai was making, because I think when you create a mod, you're not entirely unsure how somebody else will play that mod. You can imagine how they might. You can do your own play testing. So it is interesting to see that. Do you adapt your play style when you're doing the Let's Play to suit the mod, or do you just tend to play your own sort of playing style and see how the mod actually bears out?
Well, I try to do it. It's not always possible, because I often play on data, and I try to not use a subpar strategy that has a high chance of just failing entirely. But I do try to adapt to the mod. It doesn't always work out the way I want it to.
Is one of your main aims when you do the Let's Play to actually show off the benefits of that particular mod?
Well, when I pick which mod to play, obviously I want to play it because of something I liked in there.
Uh-huh.
Some kind of unique unit I maybe liked, so I obviously want to use that. Unique ability I want to use. I do use mods with that in mind, for sure. But like I said, it doesn't always work out, because a lot depends on how the game develops.
Okay.
Sometimes it depends on the map, and I can't really know that in advance.
Have you ever had any play runs or Let's Plays where things just didn't go well at all, and you decided just to scrap it and not actually put it up on YouTube?
Oh yeah, I had a lot of things that I recorded, games, not just Civ 5, that I ended up not putting on YouTube, but it's usually because when I watch it, while I'm preparing to upload it to YouTube, I can simply see that it's boring to watch. Like, that's the main reason why I scrap things. So I decide to just trash it and record something different.
When you actually watch other people's Let's Plays, do you find yourself going into a mode where you're thinking, ah, I would have done that completely differently? You know, how do you respond when you watch other people's?
Maybe sometimes, but, like, everyone has different play style. Everyone likes different things, so not really. And I don't always have time to watch other people too much, because YouTube can be really time-consuming. The time I spend on actually making the videos is maybe one-third of all the time I spend on YouTube-related things.
So I finished pulling up the stats for the Blackfoot mod on Steam, and you're not going to like what I have to say. The subscriber base is basically a straight line from over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there doesn't seem to be any noticeable difference right now. However, the Let's Play on the Blackfoot's only been running for a week.
Right. I mean, it's not about liking or not liking. I was just mostly curious.
Well, I know how that goes, too, because I'm interested in the stats for various different reasons as well.
Let's say I worked as a data analyst in e-commerce for a few years, so I'm kind of a stats person.
Now you work in streaming, right?
Well, I'm mostly a YouTuber. I stream sometimes, but YouTube is my main activity, so to speak. Right. I only stream very occasionally right now.
Civilization, I think, as a franchise, has a very small streaming or YouTube community. When you look at the number of people who are streaming it or making videos, even Let's Plays, there isn't a very large number.
Yeah, actually, back when I was just starting YouTube and Civilization 5, I was really surprised how few people do Civilization 5 on YouTube with how big Civilization 5 is, because Civilization 5 has been in top 10 most played games on Steam constantly for the past 5 years. It never drops below top 10, ever.
That's
and
right.
Yet, very few people do it on YouTube. And on Twitch, I can understand it, because strategy games aren't popular on Twitch. That's just how it is, other than things like Hearthstone, but that's not really a traditional strategy game. But strategy games just aren't a thing on Twitch, even the biggest franchises like Total War. But I was very surprised how few people do Civ on YouTube. There are more doing it now, but back when I was starting it, it was only really a handful of channels doing it.
What sort of people do you think are the people that mostly watch? Why are they watching? Somebody that's trying to learn the game? Is that your biggest audience? Is it just people that are interested in somebody else's gameplay?
Well, there are definitely a few different groups, and different people watch it for different reasons. There is a group that wants to learn to play better. I've seen a lot of comments over the past year or so from people who said they learned to play better by watching either me or someone else. There are people who watch it because they watch it for the person doing it. So in this case, for me, a lot of people watch Quill because he's Quill, things like that. So they watch it for the streamer or for the YouTuber. And then there's also a group that enjoys watching someone play differently than they do. These are the three major groups. And I'm sure there are others who have their own separate reasons, but...
My personal reasons for watching Marvazir, because I do, is first of all because I'm a narcissist modder. He wants to play his own mods. And I like posting comments that correct mistakes that people say or questions they ask during the stream. And the other reason is because I find Marvazir's accent is hilarious.
Thanks.
And I was very, very disappointed, just a critique here, during the Blackfoot mod, that you didn't try to pronounce any of the city names.
Yeah, I would probably cheat and try to find someone doing it on the internet.
That's what I do. I can't pronounce any of those names either, but it was one of the main reasons I was watching.
That doesn't sound like cheating. It sounds like the correct way to find out.
The fun part of playing Poland was pronouncing all the Polish city names properly. I tried to teach it to Quill, but he couldn't say it.
It's barely possible for non-Poles, even you know, the other Slavic languages have trouble.
Yep.
So yeah, this modcast has two people from one country with different accents.
Not only that, from the same city, no?
No, I'm from the south.
Oh, okay.
I do want to thank you for highlighting Blackfoot, because it does, I think, make a difference for us, at least in terms of morale. At least, I have only watched the first 6 videos, so I don't know if you start trashing-talking them in the next 3.
Oh, no problem at all.
Would be nice, anyway.
Poor Rob.
A lot of channels that I know and talk with try to avoid mods a lot of the time because of stability problems, because of balance problems. They don't have the time to a test run that would last 4 hours.
That's understandable.
Yeah, you don't want your video to just go down in flames. Everything's going well. People are interested. All of a sudden, the game just ends on a crash. It's really
bad. I did have problems with crashes where I had to re-record things. I don't really mind dealing with that, but there are people who hate the idea of even taking a risk of having a crash in the middle of the recording.
And to contrast that, when you have civilization streamers on Twitch, the biggest is, of course, Filthy Robot with the multiplayer, and they all play with the No Quitters mod that plays like a DLC, sort of, because otherwise you can't play multiplayer with mods.
Yep.
And there are some quite big changes to civilizations and their UAs and stuff in the No Quitters mod, and there are some new units even. They somehow managed to get it stable, and the biggest Civilization V streamers technically have a modded game.
My experience with Civilization V multiplayer has been, let's say, less than ideal. Hopefully the next one will be better. I know they are focusing a lot more on multiplayer because I asked some questions about that. It's supposed to have official support for mods in multiplayer.
That's big news.
Which is the best news ever.
And they are supposed to implement some ways to play multiplayer that will create like shorter multiplayer sessions. I've not been able to get any specifics out of the devs, but they want to create some sort of multiplayer environment where you can sit down and play a full game in like 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. No idea how, but that's one of their goals.
Plans before Civ 6, if you do have any, and if you do have plans to play Civ 5, show it on YouTube after Civ 6 is launched as well.
I might actually keep doing Civ 5 for a bit after Civ 6. It will all depend on whether my viewers will be interested, really. But I will do some Civ 5 after Civ 6 release and see what the general response is.
Yeah, any plans for future playthroughs before Civ 6 arrives? Because the Blackfoot are gonna end in a few episodes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There are still 2 months.
Yeah.
So I will definitely have enough time for at least 1 more, maybe even 2 more. And I do think it will be viable to play Civ 5 for a while after Civ 6 release, because it's basically 2 very different games. I had the chance to play Civ 6 twice now, and it really does play very differently to Civ 5.
It looks really great.
It just looks similar on the outside.
Yeah, on the outside.
And a lot of people like saying that it's a mod for Civ 5 because it has hexes.
Yeah.
But the more I see of it, from watching your Let's Plays, Quill's Let's Plays, the more excited I get.
Yeah, same.
You can't say to me that every single game you're going to play the exact same way, which is what I do in Civ 5, basically.
I agree fully, 100%. Yeah.
I create mods to get me out of ruts.
It's a little bit frustrating to watch people argue about graphics. Who gives a shit? The mechanics are so damn interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Jen gives a shit.
Well, I used to give a shit when the first three screenshots were presented.
Yeah, these were just terrible.
Yeah, and they just, what the fuck is that? And then when they, you know, kind of toned down the colors, they started showing leaders, they started showing mechanics.
It does look so much better. Yeah. Especially when you actually play it, because it looks kind of terrible on YouTube compared to when you play it yourself because of compression.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the art style in motion definitely looks good.
So here's a fun question before we move on. Is there any civs that you want to do streams of that don't exist?
That's a tough question.
Videos of?
I mean, there are probably hundreds of civs by now. So it would probably be hard to find some kind of idea that no modern thought of at any point. I don't have anything specific, at least. But I constantly find new civs that are interesting and I want to give them a shot. Like the Olmecs, I saw the Olmecs on Reddit few days ago, and I immediately wanted to play that.
That's the segue into the
perfect segue.
Yeah, well,
The Olmecs by Tomatek and Luigi. I have about 100-something turns with them played before our rage quit because of some broken wonders and AI cheating. The leader is Ukix-chan. I don't know if that's a good pronunciation. The unique ability is called the Venus Cycle. After researching Kalendar, your civilization enters Venus Cycles, which increase great person generation by 25%, and it gives +1 tourism for every technology researched, but not yet discovered by another civilization. So it kind of is reminiscent of the Maya, with their great people cycles, but it's more geared directly towards getting tall, science, and great people.
Which is always a great thing.
Yeah. The unique unit is Konosuke, which replaces the Spearman. It earns science for defeating enemy units, allegedly scavenging their weapons, and +10% combat strength during Venus cycles. So, clear connection to the unique ability.
So they're like Mayan Beothek.
Yeah.
Now I need to have like a multiplayer game of either teaming up or going head-to-head.
Do you know if that ability on that unit carries over to upgraded units?
It does.
Okay.
Excellent.
And it is thematically similar to the Maori unique unit from the mod, from the Polynesia split, which generates production towards a defeated unit in the game.
Yeah, I played that. That was a little bit strong.
Yeah. It's funny because that ability somewhat didn't fire for me in my game as the Maori, so I was defeating hundreds of barbs and not getting any units, and I was very confused.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I remember getting one unit per turn when playing that.
Oh, the Carpet of Doom comes back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Vanilla. And the unique improvement for the Olmec is something we saw in the Civ 6 previews, it's the Colossal Head. It is unlocked at Kalendar. It can be only built by great people, and it consumes the great people unit, so you have to choose carefully. It provides +4 science on the tile, and the additional yield, which is equal to the type of the great person, but provides half of the yield of their unique improvement. For example, you settle a great engineer, you get +2 production, +4 science.
If I recall, great generals and great prophets provide golden age points instead, from the colossal heads instead of the improvements. And this improvement does not remove jungle from tiles, which is tied to their decision, in conjunction with secret accidents and decisions, a decision to invent rubber, which gives production, +1 production on jungle.
I see their unique unit earned science for defeating enemy units, which is something new. I've not seen that been done before anywhere.
You know, the first thing I immediately thought about when seeing that unit, now that you said it carries over to upgraded units, is whether it won't be too overpowered on Deity, because, you know, on Deity, AI will just produce a metric crap ton of units and throw them all at you.
It might be, but keep in mind that at some point you hit lancers and the killing spree ends.
True. Poor lancers.
And well, nobody uses anti-tank guns.
Insert start the trumpet here.
And also the UU.
It might pay off to wait and fortify with them a little bit on the front line when you are at war against a major civ. Wait for the Venus cycle and then go kill them off.
Yep.
So you can do it faster.
So I have this long-term sort of tension, if you will. I will often read about a subject in history, mm-hmm. like, say, what they call archaeoastronomy, which is the ancient tracking of the heavens for the purposes of science or calendar reasons, and I'll try to find a way of doing it in the game and putting it into the game, and then sometime later, or before the mod actually comes out, Tomatek will appear, and he will put the same subject into a mod. In this case, it's the Olmecs with the archaeoastronomy, the Venus cycles, and it will look so much more beautiful than what I came up with. And I will just want to cry.
Oh, yes, envy. The force that drives us to make mods. Tomatek has the, I'd say, talent to make very simple abilities that just reflect the culture very well. And there is some kind of elegance in this simplicity. Whereas a lot of colonialist legacies try to, you know, write a novel about it. The unique ability description, where what the culture was, what we'll learn, what we'll get. Speaking of simple solutions, the second civilization that we had to discuss was Secretex Nabataeans.
Does they give me all the gold civilization?
Yes. And their unique ability is exactly one sentence. Gold may be spent to permanently increase food yield in cities. Mm-hmm. That's it. When you go into the city screen, you have a special button to spend gold. It gets progressively more expensive, but each time it gives plus to food in the city. So you can make desert cities that grow food inside the city.
Again, the jealousy. See, my problem is when I build a mod, I try to always challenge myself to do new things with Lua that I don't think are possible. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is I never think small.
They are mostly focused on settling the desert and exploring the desert and getting money from trade routes to get more food into cities. Basically, you know, another kind of cyclical design, but not a very abrasive one. So, they have a unique unit, which is a scout, which is kind of unusual. It's called the Zabona. It cannot attack, discovers cities faster, and it means that if you are like 4 or 5 tiles from a city, you will discover it even if it's in the fog of war. And by doing it, it gains experience points and gold.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, and also those guys, those scouts, when are stationed on a trade route, and the UI will tell you where the trade routes are going, in a small overlay, it produces +2 gold and +2 XP. So it might not be useful, the experience bonus, because it's only a scout, but the extra gold from stationing next to a city.
I wonder if that unit can get upgraded through a ruin, and if someone tested that.
I think it can. I think I got it upgraded once.
Mm-hmm.
In JFD's exploration mod, it definitely upgraded to a great scout. And great scouts there can settle cities and all that stuff, so it can upgrade. The Nabataean unique building is a rock-cut tomb. It replaces the mint. So it's the mint. It gets extra gold on metal resources. It's called silver and copper, I think. And it greatly increases the range and gold yields of land trade routes. So it's a mix of a mint and caravansary, so you don't have to build caravansaries, but you can.
I think the only problem with mint is that sometimes they can go for the entire game and never build one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but this one might be a bit better because if you are a land trade-oriented civ, you can just get them to get all the gold you can. However, the drawback is that it must be built on or next to desert. So it further somewhat locks you into a desert, but because of the UA, you can grow those desert cities without having any farms.
I assume this civ has desert start bias.
Yes, it has. It sometimes mm-hmm. has also a river start bias, so you can get all those floodplains for your capital and then settle all the rest of the desert if you want. It's kind of a competitor to the Tomatex Garamantians, who also are very good at settling the desert because of their unique improvement. It's basically a freshwater source.
I really personally love going into spaces that you can't otherwise.
I'm actually curious about one thing few people ever think about when it comes to modded sieves. How much time do you even spend on considering AI flavors when someone uses that sieve as an AI? Because that can drastically change the way AI plays that sieve. One of the reasons people hate Hiawatha. for example.
Yeah. Some thought goes into it, and I personally was asked to come up with flavors for, I think, Indian sieves or some from more civilizations. Sometimes I help out JFD with this, but not that much. But definitely the leader flavors are tweaked towards what the unique abilities do, and not necessarily what the leader was.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's that the sieve, at least from my experience in more civilizations and in JFD's mods, this is the case that they reflect mostly how the civilizations work. Again, JFD is kind of a galaxy of everything because he also likes strong leaders. And if he does the flavors personally, he might add something that reflects the leader. Otherwise, when you have war sieves, there's always a gear in leader flavors towards war and nothing else. So,
like JFD's Hitler.
I had him in one game, Small Continents. I was playing as some Southeast Asian civ, modded as well. And Hitler had a whole continent to himself, but he forward settled me on a little island with his second city.
Back when, before I was part of Clovenless Legacies, I built myself my own mods, and like everybody, I created an Israel mod. Had just got into Civilization V's and mods, so I was downloading mods, and I downloaded Hitler, and I downloaded a couple other mods, and I started out my first game with mods, with my modded civ, and I was on a small island with a row of mountains that prevented you from going south, so everyone was on the north shore, and there were three civilizations on the north shore. They were me as Israel, and then to my east was Germany with Hitler, and to my west was Shaka Zulu.
Sounds pleasant.
And I thought to myself, this is not a good day to be Israel.
Yeah.
When we were in the middle of doing the Clonalist Legacies First Nations, at that point in time, I was doing most of the XML and SQL work myself. It was mostly XML at that time, unfortunately. And I would do all of the flavors myself. And I would spend quite a lot of time on researching the leader and then building the flavors. There are some very interesting flavors, but it was definitely like, what do I feel the leader would do with a little bit of cultural things? If you play with a Blackfoot, now typically they end up in the middle of land, but if you play with Blackfoot AI, you will notice that they have an aversion for water because Blackfoot have an aversion for water culturally. You will very rarely see them build work boats and even settle on coasts because their naval infrastructure is very low. There's also the very strange combination that Crowfoot has. He has a very high forgiveness of other people, and he has a very high loyalty to people, and he's not much of a warmonger, even though he can fight very well, and he can be stubborn that way. But this has caused, in several different games that other people have put on YouTube, this phenomenon, and it happened in the Civ Battle Royale, where he will suddenly resurrect dead civilizations, because what has happened is, behind the scenes, he remains loyal to them after they're dead, and he forgives them for the reason he killed them in the first place. Which is a very crazy phenomenon, but I've seen it in at least three different publicized games. But I used to spend a lot of time with flavors that way, and I feel like part of Clonius Legacy's successes in AI games because of those flavors, and some of that is also because people highly overrate them and think they're doing a lot better than they are. And possibly they're just overpowered, but generally, that is what is going on, I feel, is I spent an awful lot of time on those flavors. The more recent Clonius Legacy's things, anything we've put out in Australia, anything that we've put out in basically not in Canada, doesn't have my flavor coding in it. It was all done by someone else, so can't comment to that or how they did it.
Maybe we should discuss what we think will happen with the Civ 5 scene after the Civ 6 release, because there will be a transition period. There's no way the majority of people will buy Civ 6 for $60 or euro.
Yeah, and we could extend it, could happen to YouTube as well, because there might be some people lingering.
Yeah, for sure.
There'll be a lot of people lingering, as they have with Civ 3, Civ 4, and Civ 5.
Yeah, I think Civ 4 still has up to 1,000 people playing it a day when I checked the daily peak for Civ 4.
Absolutely. If you look at Civ 3, there are more units being created for these days than there are being created for Civ 5. It's still got a strong modern community in Civ 3. And I think that as Civ 3 and Civ 4, Civ 5 will have people who will linger on with that and enjoy it. Because it is a great version of Civilization, I think.
I mean, it doesn't only apply to Civ. Some of the older Total War games, for example, had very active modding scenes. Things that require creating assets used on the map. How much extra work is it when creating something like the Colossal Heads?
For a basic 3D modeler, not a lot. Creating the model and texturing it, it's like creating a usual art asset. It would take the same amount of time as for me making an icon.
Okay.
But the bigger part is importing it to the game. The model has to be converted through a various array of formats that are read by the game.
Mm-hmm, I see.
So in Civilization 3, they're still creating units. In Civilization 5, people only create civs, really, or gameplay enhancements or maps. Even scenarios don't exist as a major modder creation.
Mm-hmm.
I am oversimplifying that. So the question even becomes, will people keep building civilizations in Civilization 6, or will we move on to some other thing? You know, if scenarios are good again, will we all just build scenarios?
That's actually a pretty interesting question.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because the 3D artwork will be a big bottleneck for new mods in Civ 6.
Yeah.
Unless we just stick to recolors, reskins, and abusing the ethnic diversity model in base Civ 6 units. You know, we might just not get new unit models for a while. Because most unit models in Civ 5 are converted from Civ 4. In Civ 6, because they are of much higher quality, you know, bigger poly count and detailing, it's not really possible to import Civ 4 models in that game.
Yeah.
JVD, I think I can speak for him here. We don't really plan to rush anything before Civ 6 comes out, because it is really unreasonable to think that I will have the time to work on all the art that is planned. For example, JVD has a lot of stuff to do right now for Sovereignty, to finish up the government's mod. And then there are like 10 civilizations we have planned after that. So maybe the first new modded civ will arrive in September, and then a few in October, then a few in November. Because there really is no reason to rush, as I doubt there will be any point in doing a lot of big mods for Civ 6 in the beginning at all.
I'm taking a completely different tack. Anno Domini has had a massive facelift, and there'll be a new version coming out. But once I've done that, I only aim to then add civs from, for example, JFD civs that are relevant. I know he's planning to do the Han at some point, or was thinking of doing the Han as well. So there's a couple of bits and pieces there.
Keep in mind that JFD has to update all the civs for the final time.
Yeah, totally aware of that. So at whatever point that JFD and a couple of others load other civs that might fit within Anno Domini that would be wanted, I'll do an update at that stage, but not before. I'm hoping to sort of finish it off, so to speak, now and be looking at just maybe bug fixes and new civilizations, and hope to go with Civ 6 as soon as it comes out.
I generally, and we generally plan to play Civ 5 for a bit, as well as Civ 6 as it comes out, and transition to Civ 6 more slowly, I think.
For Colonialist Legacies, we actually have a plan, and that plan will probably not come to fruition because of how legendarily good we are at following through with our plans. But our plan is to release, I think it is 7 civs, 1 First Nations mod that's finally going to come out after being shelved for 2 years. There is 4 Australian mods, and then we will be also trying to release South Africa and Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of the plan is to update all of our existing civs to have a more broad base of not bugginess, probably some more mod support. As much as I hate that. Just because we've been a very popular modding team, but we don't want to leave people with crap.
Right.
We do plan to pull completely out of Civilization 5 at some point, but I suspect this will last until a fair bit after Civilization 6 comes out. And especially because I don't want to get too embroiled in Civilization 6 modding if they're just going to change the source code when the expansions come out and break everything. But we're going to make an effort to re-update Canada and get the Voyageur working. We'll update the Cree and get them to stop destroying the Huns' naming conventions. So on and so forth.
think as well, whenever any Civ comes out or any game like this comes out, modders do what they can do. And if, for example, in Civ 5 case, doing a unit is just really complex and don't understand how to do it, then they're going to move on to something else that they can do and make good what they're unavailable for the other things. So
yeah.
It's like, I know that there's some guys, and sadly from my perspective, but not from everybody else's perspective, they tend to be the sort of Lord of the Rings kind of units that are created, have that ability to create certain, you know, units all of a sudden and say, it's dead easy, all you need to do is this, and we're all thinking, what?
It does happen. It's very frustrating.
Because they say, it's so easy, all you need to do is blah, 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 blah. You're thinking, what?
When you look for 3D models that you can put in your mods for units that you've dreamed up, you will find that there is a whole lot of nothing that people have just said, hey, we created this unit, you can use it in your mods. And you're like, oh, great, that's awesome. There's almost none of that, but you will see that there's a huge number of angels and demons and orcs that have been uploaded. And so if I could just find an Aboriginal civilization that had orcs.
That's
I mean, even if the main problem was creating units for Civ 5, and by new units, I mean completely new models, is that you need the animation for when they fight, and in older Civs you don't. Like in Civ 3, you don't need that.
Yeah, there's not a coming together thing. But I used to create units in Civ 3 when I modded for Civ 3. What I wanted to do as a modder, I'll tell you now, and this is where I came from with Civ 3, I wanted to have the capability to do any task myself. So I was self-reliant. I didn't need to go out there and ask somebody else to do something for me. And each different element was quite easy. And in fact, the units you could do via poser, you could do via cut and paste. There were so many different ways of actually creating the units and, you know, certain utility packages that was made. Unfortunately, when it's come to Civ 5, I can't do every single bit myself.
Right.
And units were the main thing that I couldn't actually do. Unfortunately, I think it's going back to the point that I made before, if it's too complicated, if it's something that, you know, tries your mind, you just don't get, something that goes by the wayside, and I think that's what's happened with the units. Within Anno Domini, each of the Greek civs has a set of about 15 units where I've put individual shields relating to that particular Greek civ. So that looks okay, but it would have been nice to have been able to create the unit from scratch myself. One thing that I noticed about the units in Civ 6, they seem to look like Civ 3 units. So I don't know if anything will become more capable there, whether or not be able to somehow get some already created Civ 3 units and chuck them into Civ 6 somehow, but I doubt it.
And I feel like Civ 6, the art question, is the really big question. If you were Firaxis and you are in the middle of planning your mod reveal, you need to answer the art question, because we now know buildings have art, districts have art, units have art. If art is easy to do, I've got a group of three people that I know. They're 3D modelers who love the idea of historical buildings.
Yeah.
So they're ready to go, regardless of whether or not anyone puts a mod on them. You're just going to have to point them at Civ Fanatics, and they're going to start churning out buildings from the 18th century.
Yeah.
The problem is, can they?
Yeah.
Or is it just going to be a bottleneck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope it won't be a bottleneck.
I agree. I mean, the great thing with Civ 3 community was that, like you mentioned with Civ 4 as well, somebody would go along and say, there's 20 Egyptian units. You've got spearmen, you've got swordsmen, you've got settlers, workers, you know, the horsemen, the lot. And it's all Egyptian theme. And what they wanted out of Civ was to be able to create those units. And then they do the same thing with another Civ and another Civ and another Civ. So modders can think, great, not only have I got my unit, but I can make that Civ look like that Civ because I've got all these units that I can just put straight in. And while some of them will be flavour, most of them, I've got my unit and it'll really look like Egypt. And that hasn't happened in Civ 5, but I hope that happens in Civ 6.
Yeah, I would assume it will improve, but there are no comments from the developers about that.
That is the worst part.
That's why we need the modding information for Axis.
Yeah.
It's overdue.
It'd be interesting to see, though, if scenarios became easier to make, whether or not people would do scenarios. Especially if, for example, scenarios and sieves became easy enough to make that you could release the sieves as part of the scenarios. Whether that would be a popular thing and whether that would be the greatest thing for YouTubers or whether it would not be.
Well, I would like to maybe see some more advanced mechanics that will help scenarios, if scenarios are a thing in Civ 6, because right. Let's be honest, in Civ 5, scenarios are kind of basic.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that one of the things that everyone in this channel, at least, has done is we've strived to make our modding efforts as close to or even try to surpass the Firaxis standard as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Firaxis standard is A, low, or B, something that you can't even get close to, I don't think we're going to bother. If scenarios are mind-blowing, but modders can only make scenarios that involve you are now on this island with mm-hmm. the following civs around you, there isn't really a point.
When you go and start doing your Civ 6 civilizations, do you make them fairly much a match and carrying on the theme of the Civ 5 civs that you did? Because you did a particular theme for a reason the first time. Or do you just scrap it up and start again?
I've got two comments on that.
Okay.
The one is that you have to bear in mind that some of the things that we put in the game because they were portraying something.
Yes.
And we have to remember that our goal should be to portray the same something, not the same mechanics, right?
Right. I might well use, if it's possible, to include leaderheads, etc., in Civ 6 from the start. I don't know what's happening with that. I might include a couple of yours, Jan, and a couple of others that's been done for Civ 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least for now until the Civ 6 versions come along, so something can be represented for certain civilizations. People perhaps use those if they can, because all of a sudden, if there are multiple leaders, then blimey, we've already got the art created for four or five leaders for some of those civilizations, so it would be nice to do that.
Yeah. Some of the leaderheads could certainly hold up in Civ 6. They would just have to have their backgrounds stylized to fit in with the rest. It's just the same game.
Whilst it's good to keep with style and in keeping with that particular Civ, in some respects it's nice to have some different styles out there, and I don't think we should be, tied in to necessarily copying a specific style. That's just my opinion.
I bought the digital edition of Civ 6, so it was like $80 US, so I'm sure it's higher.
$120 Canadian is what I shelled up for my pre-order.
Yeah, and if you want the deluxe edition digital pre-order in Poland on Steam, you have to pay €80, which is much more expensive than dollars.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will wait at least for Christmas sales in hopes that it will be at least 25% off.
Yeah, or try and get a boxed copy from a local retailer, because it is bound to be much cheaper.
Yeah, for sure.
I got my Civ 5 boxed copy in early 2011, and it was about half as expensive as on Steam.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It was about €30.
I bought mine immediately as the deluxe, because I didn't feel like I had a choice.
And to compare, if you want to buy Civ 5 Complete Edition right now, then when it's 75% off, it's $12.50 or euro.
Yep.
So, yeah, just to compare.
Yeah, they're cheap.
There's a Humble Bundle recently, I think, where you could buy it for $5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, at this point, Firaxis is basically giving it away to increase the size of their fan base.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is a good idea, especially when
it's going
to charity.
Especially when I compare it to some other games. I don't really want to criticize any particular company, but the barrier to entry to some strategy games is insanely high in terms of how much you have to pay.
Right.
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Calling today, in North America, the number is 301-637-7659. In Europe, 44121-288-7659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
And there's a big chance that this Modcast will be posted after.
For sure, for sure.
Some kind of a reveal.
And possibly. We'll all just sound like frustrated people.
We'll sound like we don't know what we're talking about. People are saying, haven't you read the article that's yeah. from the Mudcast? I mean, today's date is the 20th of August, guys.
Yeah. Did you see the video where Ed Beach bumped his elbow into the thing and it showed all the modding information?
And he made an oops, I did it again face.
Nothing to see here, guys. Move along.
When that live stream happened, I'm like, and throughout the universe, it was the collective sound mm-hmm. of 1,700,000 nerds all pressing their print screen button.
Yeah, pretty much.
All at the same time.
I wasn't watching the live stream. But I was on Skype and I got at least three people forward me the same screenshot from Germany, I think.
Yeah, from the Gamescom.
Right. I mean, when Civ was initially released, I had like 5 million people messaging me. Did you see it? Or do you know there's Civ 6 coming? No, I've been living under a rock.
No, I'm playing it right now, but I'm not allowed to tell you.
It's more or less accurate.
Yeah.
Thank you all for coming.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it a lot.
It was a good episode.
Thank you for the invite.
This was Modcast number 66. My name is Jan Baruta, and today joining me were...
Rob Arek, XFT.
Marvel here.
Nirai the Forgiven.
And Alpha Shark, Scratcher.
Thanks again, and talk to you next time.
Me, Rob RXT. I can't even say my own name, I'll try that again. Joining me today are
Jan Baruta.
Sorry, I'm forgiven.
It always happens.
So it's just the issue for them to edit it into a listenable something.
Jan, you're sounding a bit tinny.
What do you mean?
A bit,
muddy.
How do I put it? It sounds like you're speaking into a tin.
It's probably because...
Oh, that's better.
One of my YouTube friends has a full-time job as a civil engineer. He has a two-year-old kid, a family. He uploads, I think, 5 videos a week, and then he also streams from time to time. I literally have no idea where he finds the time for all of that.
Time and energy.
I'm starting to suspect he's a robot.
Probably he's actually JFD. We had 2 or 3 times in the life cycle of the last 3 years that I've actually created a mod and then tried to explain to T-Pang how I was going to create one of those little help pop-ups where the advisor pops up and says, here's something you might not have considered. Here's how to play my mod because it's so complex that I couldn't put it into the UA. T-Pang always stops that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one day you will just make a Star Wars style opening scroll. We have to play the mod.
So, hello?
What? The conversation just died.
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned
it.
That's what you call a conversation stopper.
Oh, we're all feeling bad for you for working in e-commerce. But when you look on Wikipedia and you read about Catherine de Medici, you'll have to fix that later.
The feedback I get is that I essentially do Firaxis leaderhead style with big tits.
I think I said that to you two weeks ago, didn't I?
I honestly don't know what the heck people are raging about. It doesn't make any sense,
although I wouldn't say that in the case of Catherine, so they picked a female replacement for a male, and so you've got this kind of bad feminism where you have a female stand-in who's really a male character, they just voiced them high and gave them female traits. So you have, the Scythians are really the Huns, just with a woman. Or,
yeah, kind of.
Gorgo is Leonidas, but a woman, right? I think that is a bad way of looking at it, although you could potentially say that's the case. And so then it feels like Firaxis just added more women because they wanted more women. But what's wrong with adding more women? The Dene...
Hello?
I think your mic cut out. Yep.
We'll ask him. Ah!
Okay.
Earth calling Narai.
Completely surprised us.
Your mic cut out there, like, completely for half minute.
There, it's back. It's right by a fireplace. So what was I saying? And Jen may have the same question, but I'll just talk. Dan will have to fix that.
Let's just hope the AI will be able to use that union properly.
Yes.
Not fired.
The problem is when you hype up a sieve, unless you're a Liuji, and then it just doesn't come out. Especially when your Colonialist Legacies and your sieves are 90% hype and only 10% content. And I'm starting out on the Lua, and we just have to make sure that we are all in agreement of what I'm going to build, because if it changes, I'm going to lose my mind, because that happens. So this is it. This is the final say. Do you approve of this Lua changes? And he said, actually, Pokai and I, or however you pronounce that name, Pokai, we are building two mods of World War II, New Zealand and Australia, together, and they need to be done by Anzac Day, which is already today. So drop whatever it was that you were planning to do. I hope there is some sort of new world DLC in the works.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, there should be, for the Inca at least.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Blackfoot. We are... just lost my mind. My train of thought. People are really forgive you for making crap if you can make a mod every week. Because then when the one mod crashes, they go and find the other mod and they start playing that.
And that also crashes.
We're closing in on 3 hours, so it should be enough for Dan to edit it down to an hour.
Poor Dan.
Or save some content for later.
Yeah, he usually uses old stuff in later episodes, so...
And there's also that thing, we're going to do a bit of a Donald Trump on you now, Narai, because in a modcast in a couple of years' time, we'll play back some things from this modcast and say, you told us you would do this differently in Civ 6.
This is not like the decisions at all. Honorable here. Narai, the forgiven? Ah.
And Alpha Sharks, Spectre.
We'll have to do that one again, because I totally talked over Marbazir.
Okay, so just you two say Marbazir and Narai the Forgiven.
This will end up in a joke reel.
Of course, there's always a joke reel. Record date, August 20th, 2016.
Civilization 4 and 5 sound clips, copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.